Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 29, Mizmor Kaftet. It's like no other we have encountered. Thus far we've learned of David praising those who fear God, Psalm 1. Speaking of nature and Torah, which praise God, Psalms 8 and 19. Listing the qualities required for an individual to ascend the mountain of God, Psalms 15 and 24. Speaking of God as the shepherd of Israel, Psalm 23. Psalms which God asked God to judge him, Psalm 26. And all most of the rest of the Psalms which call out to God in desperation, asking for salvation. But Psalm 29 is dedicated to God, his omnipotence, his power over nature, his voice in the world. It's not as much a philosophical psalm as it is a religious expression of God's invincible nature. This idea, together with the fact that Chacham notes that the name of God appears 18 times in the psalm, and if you add the name El HaKavod, appears 19. And the word Kol Hashem, the word Kol, the voice, appears 7 times. For this reason, Chazal, the rabbis, associate the origin of the first three blessings of Shemoneh Esrei as based on this one psalm. It's all about how to approach God in praise of his greatness. The psalm, according to Minhag Ashkenaz, also concludes the Shabbat, Kabbalat Shabbat service as the culmination of coronating the name of God. Amos Chacham presents the psalm as having one theme, though with two introductory verses and two conclusionary verses. The introduction addresses the heavenly angels. Well, the word is B'nai Elim, which in one interpretation is angels, and encourages them to Havu LaHashem, give to God. Now the word Havu in Aramaic means to give, and it should be rendered as praise God or show God. And the Mizmor begins in Mizmor la David, Havu l'Adonai b'nei elim, Havu l'Adonai kavod v'oz, Havu l'Adonai kavod shemo, Ishtachavu l'Adonai b'hadrat kodesh. The Psalm of David. Give to the Lord, O you mighty angels. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Kavod. Give to the Lord glory due to his name. Kavod. Worship the Lord in hadrat kodesh, the splendor of his holiness. Three havus and one final hishtachavu represent the progression in the initial section. These verses remind us of the description of the holy angels praising God in Isaiah 6, in which the seraphim stand upright and sing to God, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. The main section from verses 3 to 9, almost all, with one exception, begin with the word kol, the voice of God, and describe seven voices of God in seven phenomena in the world. On the water, it's in power, beauty, on nature's great trees, in fire, in the desert, and in the forest. Kol Adonai alamayim, ela kavod hirim, Adonai alamayim rabim. Kol Adonai bakoach, kol Adonai behadar. Kol Adonai shaver arazim, leishaver Adonai et arzei halbanon, leyarkidem kmo egel lebanon, v'siyon kmo ben re'imim. Kol Adonai chosev la'avot esh, kol Adonai yachil midbar, yachil Adonai midbar kadesh. Kol Adonai yechol ayalot ve'yechsof yarot ve'yechalo kolo omer kavod. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks cedar trees of Lebanon, makes them slip. The voice of the Lord divides the flame of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The desert. The voice of the Lord makes the hinds to calve and strips the forest bare. In his temple, everyone speaks of his glory, kavod. Now, Rashi contextualizes each of these kols to refer to one point in history of Israel and God's miraculous involvement in their fate. Water refers to the splitting of the sea. Koach refers to Israel as Mount Sinai and the nation hearing his voice of Moshe because they could not withstand the power of God's voice. Thus, the Pasuk says, Moshe spoke, V'ha'elohim ya'anenu b'kol, and God answered, b'kol, with this voice. Hadar, Actually, Rashi does not address the word Hadar, but Radak follows suit, saying it refers to the ability of Israel to hear the voice of God softened through Moshe. And Sforno suggests it refers to the voice of God found in fire. Cedars, Rashi suggests, is a metaphor for the kings of the nation of the world. He brings proof from verses in Samuel and Isaiah, where the voice of God is meant to convey the power over the nations. Flames of fire, Rashi suggests, refers to the utterances of the Ten Commandments, in which a flame of fire was engraved on the tablets. Midbar Kadesh refers to Mount Sinai, on which Israel was sanctified. And finally, Yicholel Ayalot VaYechasof Ya'arot, the trees of the forest. This is a bit complicated, but Rashi suggests it refers as well to the nations of the world at the time of Sinai. Radak and Sforno agree that this still describes the experience at Sinai and the reaction of the nations of the world. Now, Hirsch chooses a different interpretation of these seven voices, explaining that they're referencing the different ways in which God reveals himself to Israel through his Torah in the temple. Rain is God's gift to mankind, providing us with our physical sustenance. Power is the voice of God through Torah, which charges the moral potential and harmony to perfect talents and faculties. Breaking the cedars reminds us that God's law, which shapes and regulates strength in nature, can also bring destruction. Both Rashi and perhaps even more with regard to Hirsch, the final verse of the psalm supports the notion that it is talking about God giving something, perhaps the Torah, to his nation, and blessing them with peace, as it says, Adonai oz lamo yitain, Adonai yivarech etamo b'shalom. Now, these are quite far leaps in exegesis. Exegesis is the way you interpret the words of the Torah. Because the psalm forces us to stretch our minds of extrapolation to understand what the message of the psalmist was here. I think the essential verse is verse 4, which presents the dichotomy of God in nature, in the world. Kol Adonai b'koach, kol Adonai b'hadar, his voice in power, in voice in splendor. The esoteric message of the psalm is to find the voice of God in all aspects of nature, and if you listen closely, he is broadcasting to the world. Sometimes it is in the form of power and even destruction, like earthquakes. Other times it is the form of beauty and splendor, things we take for granted in this world, but we should attribute God's signature to all of it. Perhaps the word kavod is the guiding word in this psalm. We find it in verse 1 together with strength, and it's appended to his name in verse 2, once again in verse 3 in the thunderous waters, and once again in verse 9 stating that in his temple, all that is his, says kavod. Kavod can be defined as honor, glory. It actually comes from the root word kaf bet dalid, which means heavy, like weight. When something has great weight, it has gravitas. In the case of God, he has majesty, importance, glory. These all refer to the intensity with which we envision our God in history, in nature, in the world. It's a feeling more than power, not simply majestic, but all-encompassing. Writing a psalm about God is quite an undertaking, and we would expect it to be anything less, or would we expect it to be anything less than mysterious and esoteric? It makes sense, then, that the commentators gravitate towards a time in history when the nation came closest to beholding the glory of God and hearing his voice. And does it not follow that that voice is multifaceted, kaleidoscopic, and subjective to each individual experiencing it? For this reason, I am comfortable in grasping just a small percentage of the meaning of this psalm. It's as if I was going to give a class on Ma'aseh Merkavah, the vision of Isaiah. I would probably come up just as confused. The concluding verses of the psalm are similarly confusing in terms of their connection to the poem. Adonai l'mabul yashav, v'yeshev Adonai melech olam, Adonai oz lamo yitain, Adonai yivarech etamo v'shalom. The Lord sits or sat enthroned at the flood or returns to the flood. And he sits enthroned as king forever. He will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Once again, we understand Rashi's proclivity, his desire to explain it as a Sinai experience. Yet we wonder, what's the connection to the flood? Here, I'd like to invoke my Zayda, my grandfather, Rabbi Joseph Damel Zatzal, and the Drash, which I'll include in this mystical psalm, though usually I will try to present only the pshat, the simple understanding. But here, why not? The Midrash says that when Israel stood at Sinai, the nations of the world came to Bilam, the evil prophet, and asked him if there's another flood coming to the world. Now Bilaam answered, God is giving his strength, his Torah, to his people, blessing them with peace. Why did they think a flood was approaching? Something unusual and unnatural took place during the flood in Noah's Ark. All animals got along one with the other. None ate each other. None fought with each other. They simply sat side by side waiting out the flood waters. The nations of the world saw something similar when the children of Israel stood at Sinai. Miraculously, for a moment, Jews stopped fighting with each other. They stood side by side and waited for the miraculous to take place. The nations of the world assumed catastrophe, not unlike the flood. But Bilaam answered, there's another time when Israel is at peace with each other, when they receive the Torah. Adonai oz lamo yiten, Adonai yevarech, et amo ba shalom. God will bless his nation with peace. Shalom.